What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Will Pruitt, and I'm here to talk to you about TNA Impact Wrestling from September 13th, 2012. It is September 14th, 2012, and, you know, we've got some Impact to talk about. But before we get started doing that, I want to talk to you about ProWrestling.net membership. Right now, .net members are listening to over 2 hours from the .net weekly audio show talking about Jerry Lawler, some backstage response to that, plus all the other news and notes from this week, and a Night of Champions preview from Jason Powell and Chris Shore. They are also listening to or preparing themselves to listen to a over 50-minute interview that Chris Shore conducted with Steve Corino yesterday or the day before, one of those two. But that's definitely a big one, so you should check that out as well. Steve Corino, of course, a legend dating back to ECW, Ring of Honor, star now in that stable with Kevin Steen and all that. So it is definitely worth listening to that interview. Yeah, so if you want to get some .net membership, you should go ahead and do so. The way you do that is go to ProWrestling.net. There's a membership link on the right-hand side of the page, and booyah, get yourself some of that .net membership. Click that little linky link, and it'll take you through it. If you want to become a member, it is $5.50. That's how low we go, baby. $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. If you've tried it out before, you just know, and you should know, if you just know that this is the wrestling website membership for you. If you just want to try it out for a month, get your feet wet, see what all the hubbub is about, $7.50, still a great deal. It really is one of the best values in wrestling website membership. All right, let's talk about this show now that I've, you know, handled business, if you will. TNA kind of began the road to Bound for Glory on this evening. It was the, you know, it's almost like the Raw after the Royal Rumble or the Raw after Elimination Chamber, where you're sitting there going, let's get this thing started now. We've made it. Let's go. This show felt like, let's get this thing started now. You know, let's get started on this road to Bound for Glory. The interesting thing that they did here is they didn't go, these are all the Bound for Glory programs. Look at them. More what they said is, guys, let's take a step back. I want to talk to you about No Surrender and what happened on that show. You need to know. So it's like TNA took the extra time to set the stage, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, I'm not critical of them for it, but it did feel an awful lot like I was sitting there watching No Surrender again. You know, there were two No Surrender rematches on this show. The main event, Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray, was the main event of No Surrender, and it was the main event of this show. I was not a huge fan of that action. Plus, we also saw a rematch of the X Division title match, Zion versus Sanjay Dutt, and I was almost less of a fan of that. And I'll get into why I was less of a fan of it right now, just for funsies. The thing that kind of bothered me about us getting that match again is the fact that Ion versus Dutt was given no build-up, no character development, nothing of that sort going into it on Sunday, and they just did that again for the match here. I would have loved to have seen even just a backstage promo from each guy, a little cut-in as they're coming out, whatever, where they say, this is why I want that title, or this is who I am, and this is why I am champion. That kind of stuff goes a long way. And when you're talking about Ion and Dutt, they're characters that aren't developed. And they need to take, TNA needs to take the time to develop them. But let's just get this thing started. If you want to follow along with me as I go through this show, check out Jason Powell's live coverage on the site, ProWrestling.net. Again, it's the TNA live report coverage. I won't be reading it, but it will be my outline as I go through the show. Mostly because looking at that is a lot easier than actually taking notes during the show. So we open with a video that focused on Bound for Glory. No Previously on Impact this week. I miss that guy. The Previously on Impact guy. I like him. I also just think that's a great convention that TNA has set up. Taz and Mike Tenay are on commentary. Austin Aries comes out first thing for a promo. It's always good to open the show with your champion that way. TNA has done a good job most of the time in presenting Aries as a big deal. And I feel like they did that here as well. They made Aries seem like a major player as champion. Aries deserves that. He's a guy that really deserves to be presented as a big deal, as a major champion. Aries is excellent, you know, pretty much all of the time in TNA. So he talked about the TNA Championship, said everyone dreams of holding it. Then Jeff Hardy came out, and Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries proceeded to just love on each other, man. They called each other great. Aries congratulated Hardy on winning the Bound for Glory series. It was just like, hey, we're pals. Let's be friends forever. I don't know what that tune was, by the way. That's, please do not get upset at me for using that tune, because I honestly have no idea where it came from. But it seemed like they were going to be friends forever here. Then Bully Ray came out to add some heel juice to this segment. And Bully Ray basically, you know, said it was a fluke. Hardy, Aries and Hardy are lucky because he could beat both of them. You know, Aries was like, I think I've beat you before. Thumbs up? Yeah? So basically this whole segment set up, Bully Ray versus Jeff Hardy later in the night. They didn't automatically say it, but, you know, they set up that for that match to happen with the segment. Decent opener. I'm excited and a little frightened by the storytelling that will go into Hardy versus Aries, because babyface versus babyface like this is a tough story to tell. You are still trying to get fans into... You're still trying to get fans to believe in Austin Aries. They're doing a good job, but, you know, there's still that work to be done to make them go, Austin Aries is my guy, which is what you want fans saying. Then you put him in there with Jeff Hardy, and Hardy is such a major star. He has that connection already. He has all of those intangibles. And it gets that much harder to get people into Hardy. But I think it's possible. I'm not a guy that's sitting here saying it's not going to happen. But they have to be careful how they tell the story with Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries. That's the thing, is they really have to be careful as they're going through that. Shot aired of James Storm walking backstage. Just, you know, James Storm, he walks places. Normal, everyday guy, walking like he does. So then we saw Chrissy Hemme introducing Sanjay Dutt, and TNA took this moment, you know, as they're going into the first match of the show, Taz and Mike Tenay wish Jerry Lawler the best, and first wish that he would have a speedy recovery. Classy move from TNA, and I really mean that. TNA showed a lot of class going ahead and wishing Jerry Lawler the best. It's, it's a tough situation. WWE doesn't, when a TNA guy gets injured, go like, hey, we wish you the best, and, you know, I think this is more because of, I think this is much more because you've got a legend in the business in Jerry Lawler. It's not just, you know, a random WWE guy getting his knee hurt. It's Jerry Lawler, who was in a life-threatening condition on Monday night, and they wish Jerry Lawler the best as his recovery moves on, and that made me really, it made me happy to see it from TNA. Again, it is a, words, I have them. It's just a classy move from a company that, I'm just glad they handled themselves classily like this. So, Tenay noted that they have to wait for Hulk Hogan to make Bully Ray versus Jeff Hardy official. Then we had Z-Mion versus Sanjay Dutt, which I already discussed. This match was just 3 minutes and 25 seconds. But I liked it more than I liked their pay-per-view match together. I'm not even sure why. It just... You know, it was fast-paced, it was exciting, and I just want characters now. You know, I can get into the matches, I can see that the matches are going to be good in the X Division, and I don't mean characters like, I'm a clown and I wrestle, I'm a plumber and I wrestle. I mean characters like, my name is Sanjay Dutt, I'm motivated by this desire, I've had these setbacks, and I'm going to get vengeance, or I'm going to win this match for this reason. My name is Zima Ion, you know. Real people have motivations. Even, you know, when I do something, I have a motivation to do it. I feel like aside from just, I'd like to be champion, there aren't a ton of motivations in the X Division in TNA, and I would like to see that change and those guys actually get a chance to have a true motivation. Good match. Ion applied an arm breaker to wrench on Sanjay's bad shoulder, kind of playing up that Zima Ion injures people. Again, not a bad motivation, not a bad way to get his character kick-started again. I want to see Zima Ion on TV on a weekly basis. You know, it's time to do that. Put Zima Ion on TV, and I'm not saying in a match all the time, but let him cut some promos. Let him really grit his teeth. If he's your guy, if he's your star in this division, let him be that star. Don't just, you know, be like, hey, yeah, Zima. Yeah, he's going to come out on occasion. You know him. Funny hair, hairspray, you get it. Let him really develop a character that can be something on a weekly basis. Backstage, Daniels and Kazarian were talking to Hulk Hogan. Fine segment. Basically, Hogan said, you both are going to be in singles matches. Kazarian, you're going to be up against Kurt Angle or AJ Styles. Daniels, you're going to be up against Chavo Guerrero or Hernandez. You know, if either of you lose, the guys you lose who get a tag title shot, if both of you lose, well, they never discuss that possibility, so we don't know. Hopefully it won't be a triple threat, though, because that's exactly what happened. Decent, you know, way to set up some singles matches for the night. Something I would like to see wrestling do is have a full show announced and have a full card that happens on a TV show. And just make that the weekly thing, you know? We have this in store for next week. Even coming out of a pay-per-view, maybe use TNA Today to announce that week's Impact card and make it a big deal. Make it like a, you know, we have signed the following matches for this. And don't rely on authority figures to make matches mid-show. What that does then for TNA is it makes Open Fight Night special, because those matches aren't, you know, that those matches aren't like pre-prepared for. And it also makes those situations where an authority figure might make a match very special. It makes it a major, major match. Yeah, that's just kind of a pet peeve. Bobby Roode was shown walking backstage. Apparently, if there's one thing the Beer Money does well, it is walk backstage, man. Those guys know how to walk. Let me tell you. So, backstage, we saw AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, you know, kind of which one of us is going to do this thing against Kazarian out there. And I like the way that Kurt Angle doubts AJ Styles sometimes. I like the dissonance they've built up with them as a team, where Angle's like, dude, are you sure you can handle this? Because you've had all these issues. Like, I don't know that I can trust you. And then you've got AJ Styles going, come on, man. You know I win. You know I'm going to go out there and win this match. Let me get my hands on him. Now I want to see them kind of let I want to see why AJ and Angle have formed this alliance. Why they're buddies. Why they get along as well as they do. That's kind of step two to me. And I really want to see them pull that off. Then we saw Wes Briscoe showing up. And Angle said he wanted him to watch AJ's match. I kind of like what they're doing with Angle and Wes Briscoe. Like, dude, we're homies. I hope that Wes Briscoe really is just there because he drives Kurt Angle around. And yes, I think someone should drive Kurt Angle around. We talked about this when Angle got his last, you know, almost DUI or whatever it was. I think everyone basically said, dude, why is Kurt Angle driving himself? TNA, put a wrestler on the payroll for, you know, however much a shot, like, it's worth your money and your PR dollars not to have these weird things happening with
Kurt Angle.
That's, yeah. But I want to see AJ and Angle be homies now, and not just be tag partners. We saw a video build up the feud between James Storm and Bobby Roode, and Bobby Roode came to the ring off the chain like he does. And he said he was screwed 2 months ago when he lost and wasn't allowed another title shot. And, you know, while Austin Aries is champion. And he said he went home, watched James Storm pour his blood, sweat, and tears into the Bound for Glory series, but then watched, but then he questioned why a guy that he can beat was getting a title shot. Basically, you know, not a bad thing. James Storm came to the ring, and he said that's why he came to No Surrender and hit James Storm with a beer bottle. By the way, Bobby Roode was back in a suit. He was not rocking the sleeveless t-shirt and jeans. Keep Bobby Roode in a suit, guys. I understand the t-shirt if he's coming out for a match. I mean, Roode's got to sell shirts. Let's be real. Everyone wants an It Factor shirt. They just got to know it exists, right? But keep him in that if he's... Keep him in the suit if he's coming out for a promo or a run-in or something. Then James Storm made his entrance, attacked Roode, and they fought out of the ring and into the back as they went to commercial. Decent segment. The thing about Storm versus Roode, and going back to it that I like, Storm versus Roode is a rivalry that I can, that I feel like, while the title makes it a little bit bigger, the Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries rivalry to me seems more important with the title involved and seems bigger with the title involved. It needs the title more, if you will, than Roode versus Storm. I think with this, with both of these feuds, TNA did something really smart in making Roode versus Storm, and oh, they talked about, by the way, Roode versus Storm as a tag team. That's also something that I liked about this segment. They're going back to beer money, and it's something that TNA didn't do. TNA did not go back to beer money for the lockdown match. You know, they talked about it a little bit, but they didn't really do that. That in building up Roode versus Storm, they haven't talked about beer money much, and I think you talk about beer money a lot. You have them talk about beer money a lot. You have them discussing who they were as part of that and why they are no longer a tag team, why they're no longer buddies, how well they know each other, how, you know, just kind of how, you know, how their relationship developed. I would really like to see that personally. But yeah, you know, fine. They don't need the title involved. Make it a blood feud. And I think you make this a straight-up brawl at Bound for Glory. You know, I think Austin Aries versus Jeff Hardy is, you know, it's going to get violent, but it's going to have that respect thing about it. I think with this match, you make it the all-out bloody brawl. And, you know, I'm not a guy who calls for a ton of blood in wrestling. I think you use it here. I think you just have them tear each other limb from limb. And if you want a blueprint for it, look at the match that James Storm had with Chris Harris at Sacrifice 2007. One of my favorite TNA matches ever. Watch that match. That's a special one. Then we had our second match of the night, Kazarian versus AJ Styles with a... I like how Jason put it in his report. With tag title ramifications, not a shot on the line necessarily, or just, guys, this match is not for nothing. And this was a good match. Kazarian and AJ always have good matches together. It's just kind of what they do. Kazarian and AJ had a good match. It finished with Styles hitting the Styles Clash. In 10 minutes and 10 seconds, 3 count, and now AJ and Angle get a tag title shot. It was a predictable finish, and honestly, I felt like this match would not end at times. It was good, but there were points where I was just like, is it over yet? And in a 10-minute match, you hate feeling that way, but, you know, I'm here to be real with you guys. I'm not here to lie and be your stereotypical internet smarky smark. I'm real. That's how I roll. Backstage, Hulk Hogan, Brooke Hogan. Hulk said, Brooke, I don't want you at home. I want you bouncing between New York and L.A. with, said he wanted her bouncing between New York and L.A. And whenever you're at the Impact Zone handling business, I want two people with you at all times. Okay. Then we had Joseph Park come in. Couldn't find his name for a minute, and I couldn't remember it. I was like, Fat Lawyer? What was his name again? Joseph Park came to the ring and mentioned that, they mentioned that he would, and he said he has a lead on Aces and Eights, and he's gonna bust wide open next week. He's gonna talk about it on Impact. He's waiting for one piece, but it should be there. And then Hogan asked Park to serve as a bodyguard for his daughter when he went to the ring. Park asked Brooke if she had good representation, and she told him that she has good lawyers, but he could be her bodyguard. I'll be real. I was actually really hoping that the two of them... I was really hoping that we'd have, like, some buddy comedy segments between the two of them as the night went on. Like, that Joseph Park and Brooke Hogan would have these weird moments together where you're just like, this is strange. I'm not one that calls for a lot of wrestling romances, but book that wrestling romance, TNA. Brooke Hogan, Joe Park, I want to see it blossom before my eyes. Why didn't Hulk just take Brooke to the ring with her? That was a weird one. Backstage, Bully Ray talked to Jeff Hardy, and basically Hardy said, or Bully Ray said, hey, put your TNA title shot on the line. And Hardy said, you know what? I'm going to put my TNA title shot on the line. And on top of that, I'm not going to get anything for doing it. I'm not going to ask you for something for me putting this valuable thing of Bound for Glory on the line. No, I'm just going to put it on the line because I want to today. What? So, Jeff Hardy, if he had lost, would officially be the stupidest person ever. But, you know, he didn't, so there's that. But this was a bad call. I think TNA went with this to show, hey guys, Hardy is tough and Hardy's better than Bully Ray, but it didn't play out that way. Hulk Hogan then came to the ring for a promo, like he does, and he put over Jeff Hardy for winning the Bound for Glory series, affirmed that Hardy versus Bully Ray was happening later tonight, and talked about how lockdown worked at the Impact Zone, and man, that was a game changer. So from now on, the Impact Zone is locked down. And a Bane showed up on the screen, the VP of Aces and Eights, Bane. Again, so glad he landed on his feet. I was worried about Bane after Catwoman blew him up, but because we didn't see him die, I assumed that Bane was still alive. And I'm just psyched that Bane is okay. And that he landed on his feet. I mean, I hope he doesn't blow up the Impact Zone football stadium style, but a little bit of violence goes a long way from that guy. He also gained some weight. I guess, catering on the set of Batman really, really helped him to pack it on. Tom Hardy and Impact. Who would have thought it? But the Bane character said, or the vice president slash Bane guy said, hey, keep your head on a swivel because you don't know if you locked us in or you locked us out. And every guy you see, you're going to wonder, is he with us? That's a nice hook. I was really excited about that hook. It's a nice way to tell that story and to say, you know, it kind of makes you go, well, why didn't Hogan lock it down before? But also you've got, you know, you've got something cool going on with Hogan locking it down now, and Aces and Eights saying that now. So they furthered that. This show wasn't all about Aces and Eights, though. And I really appreciated that. A recap showed of Chavo Guerrero, or a backstage segment with Chavo Guerrero was shown, and he's mad at himself for not winning the tag titles last week. And he said he invented Lie, Cheat, and Steal, and he's going to take the match for their team. And he did. We saw Chavo Guerrero versus Christopher Daniels, and Chavo won the match in 6:35, and Chavo won the match using the Three Amigos with the Frog Splash. Now, I know I've talked about it a lot. And that is Chavo exploiting Eddie's legacy for his own and using Eddie's offense. it's different than Christian using the spear after Edge retired. Because they, you know, in storyline, they're brothers and they were close, and Christian isn't winning every match with the spear. It's part of his moveset now, but it's not like Christian is going out there in every match and going, spear, spear, spear. What Chavo is doing is basically, think about this as a video game. He deleted his own moveset and said, copy Eddie Guerrero's onto mine after Eddie died. And he's been using that moveset. And it's fine on occasion if you need to break something extra out. You know what? Do the Eddie tribute. Get fans into it. That's chill. But what he's doing is actually just doing the Eddie tribute full time. I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan of this match. Christopher Daniels won it, or Christopher Daniels lost to Chavo. And that means that there are now two teams that get a tag title shot. Yippee. A video featured the next gut check guy, Evan Markelopoulos. 18 years old, this guy. Started wrestling when he was 13? It's crazy face. But he's 18. I think we're going to see the judges go, hey, dude, you're just too young. You know, you're just too young of a wrestler. But we'll see. You know, it's... There are definite chances for him to make it on the roster as well, because nothing surprises me about Gut Check, that awful, awful thing that it is. And I do think that Gut Check is a pretty terrible excuse for a wrestling contest or concept. Highlights from earlier of the show of James Storm and Bobby Roode were shown, and the announcers were like, by the way, that brawl earlier, they were separated backstage. Storm spoke backstage, said he's going to make Rude's life a living hell, and next week is open fight night, so you're going to fight. Good hook for open fight night. They showed a video package with Gail Kim discussing her Bound for Glory moments and talking about winning the, what is that thing? Talked about her winning the TNA Knockouts Championship, becoming the first Knockouts Champion. Cool for her. Neato, gang. And what it meant to her career. Cool package, actually. Then we had Tara come to the ring. Basically, this was a segment with Tara saying, you calling out Miss Tessmacher, saying, hey, you beat me. Congratulations. I'm really proud of you. You've learned so much. I did a good job as a teacher. Putting the belt on Tessmacher. Tessmacher started to celebrate, and then Tara kicked her. Easy to see coming, but a good segment. I thought it was solid. Yes, okay. You could see it coming easily, but at the same time, hey, I'm totally chill with seeing something coming when it's logical, you know. And we saw this coming because it made sense for Tara to turn on Tessmacher and start this part of their feud now. And I'm excited to see what these two do, most likely at Bound for Glory, with the standard student teacher heel baby face dynamic between them. I think it'll be better than their work at No Surrender. That was the one. Video talked about Jeff Hardy winning the Bound for Glory series. Then we had a split-screen show, Hardy and Bully Ray coming out. And they said that showdown would be next. But first, we got a backstage segment that was the worst thing of the night. Oh, I've been waiting to talk about this one. And it was Dixie Carter talking to Hulk Hogan, Brooke Hogan, Bruce Pritchard, D'Lo Brown, and Al Snow. Apparently, that is your authority structure in TNA, which really explains everything wrong with that company in the last 3 years. D'Lo Brown and Al Snow. Al Snow does not have head with him to advise him. D'Lo Brown's chest is unprotected and head is unwobbled. And Bruce Pritchard's face is not bright red. That alone is everything wrong with TNA right now. But they, basically, she's like, she's yelling at those guys going, hey, I let you run this company, and we've got this happening, the Aces and Eights situation. And he is saying, and all of them are just saying, you know, Dixie, you could be next. This is crazy. I've never seen anything like this. basically, this was these guys saying Aces and Eights are tough. And the idea of this segment was that someone in that room was a part of Aces and Eights. It got brought up. Let me see if I can see who brought it. Pritchard said they have to have everyone in the room asking what they're going to do next. And kind of everyone going, who... Basically, TNA set up with this segment that someone in that room is a part of Aces and Eights. And it showed this hokey thing with, like, music that was like, boom, 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 boom. For each one of them. For Pritchard, D'Lo, Snow, Hogan, Hulk, and Dixie. They showed everyone's face and were like, best be careful. One of these homies is in Aces and Eights, y'all. I think what TNA is doing is they're setting up a major authority figure to join Aces and Eights at Bound for Glory. And for that to be the big reveal is that they've got authority figure A on their side. And I look at that and I get kind of frustrated. And the reason I get frustrated with that is I have seen this happen in TNA. And it's an every other year thing. If the year ends in an even number, TNA puts together a major faction, a major heel faction at Bound for Glory. The last two are perfect examples of that. In 2008, man, it was a major heel faction that got put together. In 2008, it was a major heel faction that got put together at Bound for Glory. The Main Event Mafia. In 2010, it was Immortal that got put together at Bound for Glory. Let's get roll about it here. TNA needs to watch what they're doing. I just think it's a little too obvious. I just don't want to see it. I think TNA has played out the big time heel faction with just kind of both of those and how long they took to go through with and how they fizzled out by the next year's Bound for Glory and all of that. I don't want to see it. They said that someone in the room could be a member. And, yeah, that was lame. Bad segment. Really bad segment. Embarrassing segment for them. I would have much, much rather seen, something good out of them. I don't want to be a jerk here, but the interesting thing about that segment is that TNA was going for reality with it. Their whole thing was, we want to make this seem and feel real. The bad thing about this segment was that they couldn't. And they had to go with that hokey music at the end. And they really could have made it seem and feel real without, by not using that hokey music. Then we had Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray, a match that I thought was better than their pay-per-view effort as well. Most of the reason why I thought it was better than their pay-per-view effort is they weren't hindered by the story that they were telling at Bound Adam No Surrender. Which, if you want to discuss it quickly, it was Jeff Hardy selling a shoulder injury and coming back from it. Now, the issue is that this match was good in a vacuum where that match was good as part of a major story. So, it's kind of a give and take on that end. Hardy won the match with a couple twists of fates and a swanton bomb and celebrated to end the show. I think the idea is that Jeff Hardy's just that good and they wanted to put that over tonight, but I don't think they did that well and I think they made him look dumb. But they can rectify that next week. It's not a huge deal. Overall, an okay to good episode of Impact. Mild thumbs up from me. Good matches, logical storytelling, but there were some only in TNA bad moments and some classic TNA stupidity, like putting the main event of the pay-per-view that was just on again. That's stupid. That is really stupid. Only in TNA moments, that head going to each guy's head, so dumb. So basically, TNA did some dumb things, they did some good things, and we're right back where we were last week, really. Not a bad show. Again, they chose for the show after Bound for Glory to look back at No Surrender and that story rather than looking forward to Bound for Glory. And that's fine because what do they have, 4 or 5 episodes of Impact left to go until Bound for Glory? They have so much time to get there that I think it's fine for them to not get super crazy immediately. Yeah, so that's basically it. Thank you guys for listening this week. Steve Corino, over a 50-minute interview, almost an hour long, from Chris Shore. Steve Corino, I haven't listened to it yet. I'm planning to later today, and I'm super psyched about it. ProWrestling.net's the website. And also, man, we've got live coverage of Night of Champions this weekend. CM Punk versus John Cena. If you want to watch football, watch those 49ers. I hate the 49ers, man. Mostly, actually, I don't hate them, but I have some of my great friends and so many of my family members, including my own wife, they're all 49ers fans. So, like, I'm a Packer fan, and last week, man, I just got so much crap from them. And, you know, now the Packers did win yesterday, beat the Bears, woot, and I'm psyched about that, but it still hurts. But if you want to watch that Niners game, man, check out ProWrestling.net. We're going to keep you updated. Live coverage of Night of Champions. .net members, they are going to get a audio review with Chris Shore and Jason Powell breaking down the show. Should be a good one. I am actually pretty excited about Night of Champions. So thank you for listening. Thank you for checking out the ProWrestling.net All Access podcast. This has been Will Pruitt. Have a good day.